what's going on in me right this moment. Thinking about, like, how many times I've done communion, taken communion, been a part of communion, and just something about, just thinking about it, and this is a New King James. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I was thinking about Jesus and the disciples, and I was thinking about who was around the table. And this is what I was thinking. There was a betrayer, there was a denier, and then there was the beloved John. And all three of them got to partake. And how times all three of them live inside of me. Sometimes I desire to do my own will and my own thing, and I betray what I know he's asking of me. Sometimes for a long time I denied because I didn't feel like I could live up to pleasing him or to what I thought was his requirements. And then the beloved is in me too because I love him so. And how incredibly beautiful his love is because his love opened up to all three. And that opening up the betrayer could have received the love and could have opened himself up too and become the beloved. The denier did open himself up and he did receive the love and he did. They crucified him for his love for Jesus, right? And I don't know, I just was overcome, and like, no matter what's going on inside of me, no matter which one I feel like in that moment, they're like all of me is welcome at the table. All of my failures, all of my mistakes, all of my shortcomings, all of my successes, all of the times I got it right, all of the times that I loved him well. But we have to understand that they're all welcome and they're all received. Because if we don't bring all of them in, we will end up like Judas. We will end up not realizing and understanding that all of me is welcome all of the time. And no matter what, I am welcome and I can come in and I can receive everything that Jesus did. I can come in and I can receive so that which is in me can be poured out of me. Because the beloved is who we really are. The other stuff is just all the junk that's happened in life and all of the insecurities and the messes and the mistakes and the failures and the things that we can't, that disqualify us. that we think disqualify us from being the beloved. John knew who he was. He referred to himself as that. That's pretty arrogant, unless you know. He knew, and he received, and he opened up. So that's just what I was thinking about this morning, is all three of them were sitting there, and all three of them had the same opportunity. And the beauty of Jesus' love is there's no manipulation in it, right? He opened up to all of them. And he said, I'm doing this for you. I fervently desired to have this meal together. Because I know what I'm about to go through is going to restore the heart of the Father to his children and the heart of the children to their Father. You know, I shared this quite a few times, but like I remember the first time I could hear, like I was in my quiet time and I could hear the conversation between the Father and the Son. And it was the most beautiful thing. Sorry. The Father was so broken over our relationship with him. And I could hear Jesus. I could, like, it was this crazy thing of, like, he couldn't handle the heart and the brokenness of the Father. It was like, and I could just see Jesus, like, let me go get him, God. Let me go get him for you. Please, let me go get him. I gotta go. I gotta go get him because I can't handle your heart breaking anymore. I gotta help restore this. I gotta help bring this and make this right. I gotta make this right. God, send me. And it's that, it was, I really believe that it was the brokenness of the Father and the willingness of the Son. It was the brokenness of the Father and the willingness of the Son to want to make it right. Because he wants us. Do we understand? Jesus said, I desire that you and the Father are one as he and I are one. There is no jealousy in the heart of Jesus. Like, he wants all of us in the same place as he is. There's no sibyl rivalry with Jesus. He's so secure in who he is that he desires that each and every one of us have the same relationship with the Father that he has. Wow. Holy cow. Like, what a secure brother. What a secure savior. What security? Just plain and simple. It's just security. Jesus just said, I want to give my everything so that you and the Father can have the exact relationship that he and I have. It's in the scripture. That's his prayer. That's his desire. That's why he came. So that you and I could be one with the Father as he is one. No separation. No separation. No, like, no division, no separation. Oneness. Oneness. I don't really even understand that in its fullness. But I know it's what Jesus died for. I know oneness with the Father because he wanted to restore the relationship like it was in the garden. And we can't wrap our heads around that because all we know is this fallen world, right? Like that's what we know, that's what we experience, that's what we understand. But at the same time, I do know, like, there's a part of me that knows that there's something more. that we were created for something more, that we were created for oneness with the Father, that we were created to walk in the fullness of who, of what He has for us, of who He has created us to be. And you know, as we were singing this morning, we were singing and He makes us come alive. It's like I'm living for the first time. And I was thinking of, all I could picture was Gideon. And I was like, okay, God, why am I picturing Gideon right now? And I felt like He said, because he was hiding, not living. Gideon, when the angel found him, right? You guys know the story. They were under persecution. They were in war, and their enemy would come and just steal and take all of their fruits and all of like every when they at harvest time, the enemy would come and would steal it. And Gideon was in the wine press. It was like he was hidden far, far away. And you know, if you read the story, I'm not going to go there, but if you read it, when the angel comes, Gideon says, we have heard the stories of God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. We've heard these stories. Where is that God? We've heard these stories. We've heard about the encounters. We've heard about what God did. But see, his experience was not lining up with the stories that he had heard of the Father. But you know what? In hiding, your experiences and your encounters will never change. If you're constantly hiding, right? When did Gideon's encounters begin to change? It was when he began to step out. It was when he began and when he decided, when the angel of the Lord spoke to him and called him a mighty man of valor, even though he was this hidden man, scared and afraid, hiding so that the enemy couldn't find him. It was when he decided, it's when he decided to step out. Then his encounters and the stories that he heard of the Father, the stories that he had heard of the God who had led the children out of Egypt, it was then that he began to have his own encounters. And I began to think about how we were created for something more. We were created for something more than just hiding. We were created for something more than just living in a place of fear. And hearing about all these things that God has done and hearing about them, but then staying hidden. Because see, Gideon thought he was protected, right? Gideon thought he was in a safe place because it was a place that he had created. Come on. We all create our safe places. We all create our places where we're safe and we don't have to be vulnerable and we don't have to risk and we don't have to step out. I do. I create those places. But the beautiful thing is that the heart of the Father is to speak to that what He has put in us. The heart of the Father is to find us in the most hidden places and to speak to us and to speak His truth into those places and to call us out. It was happening this morning. We were being called out this morning to live. Linnea wasn't just singing that to sing it. That was the Father. That was the heart of the Father. That was the Holy Spirit crying out, saying, come forth. Come out of hiding. Come forth. I desire for you to truly live. We were created for life. John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. See, hiding is just our place of existence. You can exist in this life. You can exist your whole entire life and probably have, right? Like Gideon was alive. Gideon was doing whatever it is he was doing, and right? But existing is not living. It is not the same. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. Abundant life. The fullness of life. The fullness. And, you know, I don't know what each and every one of us were created like, what each and every one of us, what our destiny is, what our purpose is. But I do know that each and every one of us have been created to have unhindered, unseparated oneness with the Father. That I do know. And if we can live in that place of oneness, right? The Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So if that's true, if I and the Father are one, if I am one with the Father and the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and I've surrendered my life, and I may not always get it right, but according to His word, my footsteps are ordered of Him. So as I begin to walk, like I feel like we make this some hard, difficult thing. And what is our destiny? What is our purpose? What are our dreams? And you know, I remember when I first, someone first told me, well, what's your heart's desire? And I was like, well, it can't be my heart's desire because my heart's desire is evil. And I remember the first time a friend of mine challenged me with that. And I had a really hard time because I really thought that my heart's desires were evil. Because, like, I was a new Christian. How could my heart's desires be right? How could they? And the Bible says He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, the desires of our heart, the more that we fall in love with Jesus, they change. They do. So that our heart, my heart's cry and my heart's desire was to beat. I seriously used to cry out, God, I want my heart to beat as one with yours. Whatever your heart is beating for, that's what I want my heart to beat for. And I may not always get it right, but holy cow. See, if the enemy can convince us that we're still sinners and that we're still living in this place and we're icky and we're evil and there's no way there's anything good in us, how will we ever dream? How will we ever trust that when we step out, we're hearing Him? If we really believe that we're evil and that we're this and we're that and we're our mistakes and we're our failures and we're our shortcomings, however will we step out, church? However will we step out and maybe make mistakes and get it wrong? But if your heart is for the Father, if your heart is for people to know the Father, I made a lot of mistakes in youth ministry. But you know, those youth knew that my heart was for them. And I told them from the very beginning, please know that if I make a mistake, it is because my heart is fervently desiring for you to know the love of the Father in a way that other people have never known. And I'm telling you, when you love fervently and you desire fervently for people to know the love of the Father, you will not always get it right. But they will know that your heart's desire is for them. And when you are fervently, passionately in love with God and in love with people, I am here to tell you that will cover. What does the Bible say? Love covers a multitude of sin. If people know that we love them and love them without condition, love them without manipulation, and love them simply and truly just to love them. Jesus loved the betrayer, the denier, and the beloved. All the same. All the same. They were all welcome to eat and partake. He didn't shut off the two and only let in the one. It's easy to love those that love you, right? That's easy. And you know, we had a really good example in Steve of loving those that didn't love you back. And sometimes I think people kind of maybe saw him like as soft, but can I just tell you, he was the strongest man I've ever met. No one took advantage of him. Here's why. Because he was willing. He laid it all down. He wasn't stupid. He wasn't naive. He wasn't ignorant to motives. That man moved in a gift of discernment like I've never seen. But he chose to see the treasure. And he chose to see the beauty. And nothing and no one ever walked on him, ever took advantage of him, or ever did any of those things because he laid down his life. Because he really believed that love was greater. He genuinely believed that love wins. And that is strength like I have never seen. When you can love those that betray you out there and talk about you and say things about you, and you can genuinely, with every ounce of your being, and I'm not saying he didn't struggle. He was human. But he always came back. He always had his fixed point of reference, and that was the love of the Father. You can't take advantage of things that are given, right? You really can. I know we see things that way as human beings, and we look at people and we watch how things happen, and you know, but if you're willingly giving, Jesus willingly gave. Freely I have received, freely I give. He's just, I don't know, like, I just, guys, we can never be, we can, like, ha. If we love the way that the Father loves, if we love that way, we will never be taken advantage of. We don't have to hold on. We don't have to hold on to those things. Jesus willingly gave everything up, and he came down, and you know what? He gave all of it to us. He wasn't afraid of losing his position. When you know you're a son, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to hold on to things. And you don't have to manipulate people to love you. You don't have to control people so that they'll do what you want them to do. Hello, church. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. We don't have to control his sheep. We don't have to control them. We just have to guide them. Let them fall in love. I don't even know why I'm saying all of this, just because, like, he desires that we are one with the Father as he is one. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Like, we say these things. I say these things, but I don't comprehend them. Honestly, I don't. I don't live them out. But I do, I know it's out there. You know, I know it's out there. And I just want to share one more thing. This really has nothing to do with any of this, but Nicole and I went to visit Brandy, and we were driving through, we went up to the coast, and we drove through where all the fires had happened, and I was looking at the devastation, and just like what had happened, and I was gonna get my phone out and take pictures, and I felt a check, and I was like, okay, what's going on? Now, I didn't go out there to help. I went out to visit Brandy, right? And I really, I don't know, I just felt like you can do what you want with this, but I felt like there are times where we, as bystanders, things happen and we just kind of look on, and then we, especially in social media, then we post pictures and we say these things and we're not invested. And because I wasn't out there investing in rebuilding the devastation, I honestly felt like I had no right. I had no right to post pictures or to take pictures. Because, see, bystanders and just, like, right, it's just what we do. It's just what we do. And I'm just saying, for me, I couldn't do it. And I felt like God was speaking to me that if I'm not invested in rebuilding. And I want you guys to know that we are actually investing in rebuilding there. We're sending tithe from the body of Eastgate, right? Because we ask all of you to tithe. So as a body of Eastgate, as the church of Eastgate, we are tithing outside of these walls. And so this month, we're sending money to the car fire victims. So we are investing. You are investing. Ha, so see, we are, and yeah, they are going to rebuild. And there is, in the midst of devastation and hopelessness, there are signs everywhere that are saying, from the ashes we will rise. We will rebuild this city. And how many of you know that the Bible talks about the former will be greater than the latter? Right? And so I'm just standing with them in that. And I love Reading because Brandy's there. And her beautiful children are there. And there's an amazing ministry there at Bethel. And there are people that need Jesus. So, God, I just thank you for today. And I just, God, I thank you that your heart's desire is for us. It is not against us. It is for us. And you are moving heaven and earth so that, God, so that we will fulfill all that you have desired for us to fulfill, to truly live this life. And not just exist in it, not hide in it, not hide behind, but to truly live and to truly succeed and to truly be who you have created us to be. And I thank you for your vision, your purpose, your desire, not only for Eastgate, God, but for each and every person that is here this morning and those that aren't here, God. I just thank you that you have purpose and desire and destiny for each person. If they have breath, God, if they have breath, then they have purpose, they have destiny, and they have life. So I ask, God, that you just continue to pour out as we go. Continue to pour out revelation and understanding. I thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that are up there as well cheering us on. I thank you for those that have gone before us, those that are up there and they're just rooting for us. Rooting for us right along with you. We love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.